Hello and welcome to the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. My name is Goff, and today's episode of the podcast is a little bit different, folks, because for those of you who may follow the Beer Nuts Productions podcast via the actual Beer Nuts Productions website, how many times can I say Beer Nuts Productions in a sentence? You will have seen there was a written interview and then a follow-up written interview with Hannah, a sex worker who works here in Queensland. Now, Hannah wasn't comfortable coming into the studio to record an interview, which is why we did a written interview, and that written interview got a really, really cool and wonderful and positive reaction. So I asked Hannah if we could do a follow-up, and she agreed, and so we did a follow-up. And then I thought to myself, I thought it would be good if everybody could hear the interview, not just those folks who are on the Beer Nuts Productions website, but people who are listening via, you know, Spotify and Apple and all the other podcast apps that you are listening to. So what I did was I asked Hannah if I could get an actress that I work with, being Courtney, say, g'day, Courtney.
Hello.
See if it would be okay if Courtney reads out her answers to the questions. And she said, absolutely. So that is what we are going to do now. I am going to read out the questions, and Courtney Varley here will read out Hannah's answers. Are you good to go, Courtney?
I'm ready to go when you are.
Hokey dokey then. Well, I can't believe I just said hokey dokey. I'm so lame.
I can believe it, guys. Anyways, let's go.
All right, question one. Why become a sex worker?
I was actually an exotic dancer, stripper, before I made the leap into sex work, so the adult industry I was already familiar with. I like that with sex work, you are only exposed to one person at a time, whereas with stripping, it was hundreds of people viewing my body, which, if I'm honest, was uncomfortable. I like the freedom being a sex worker provides, as I'm able to work whenever I choose, start or finish my shift whenever I feel, and it's allowed me to pursue my studies in criminology and devote a lot of my time to other areas of my life, such as family. Oh, and because the money isn't so bad, I haven't had to eat 2-minute noodles as a student.
Why did you not feel comfortable coming into the studio and doing an audio recording and having a promotional photo taken?
Firstly, I live a very private life. It's obvious that there is a huge stigma attached to being a sex worker, which means nobody knows what I really do in my personal life. I prefer to keep it that way.
Why do you believe there is such a negative stigma around sex work?
The influence and portrayal the media has given the industry play a huge role in the way society views sex work and sex workers. I don't think I've ever seen sex work or a sex worker portrayed positively by the media. The media's idea of being a sex worker, I also believe, is heavily influenced by America, where brothels are illegal except for the famous Bunny Ranch in Nevada. So street hooking is their norm, which unfortunately it would seem the women who carry out the work are under the control of their pimps and would be more prone to being exposed to unsafe working conditions. In Australia, where brothels are legal, the women work within a safe and secure environment where the use of protection is enforced by law. The use of drugs on the premises is strictly prohibited by both workers and clients, as well as the consumption of alcohol. I should also note I am strictly speaking about the state of Queensland and myself. I've always held the belief that if you require the use of drugs and alcohol to work, then you shouldn't be working in the industry in the first place.
What can be done to reduce the negative stigma around sex work?
Currently in Queensland, there is a great organisation called Respect, and they aim to bring about more equality between sex workers and society regarding social status. I would suggest you contact the organisation because I'm sure they would love to spread their message on your podcast. This would raise greater public awareness and assist in breaking down the stigma around sex work. Aside from Respect, holding conversations and normalising sex work as legitimate work is a great place to start.
Have you ever told any friends and or family about your job, and if so, what were their reactions?
Nobody knows about the work I do.
You have had clients with disabilities. Why do they want to see you?
I see many clients with disabilities and they become my regular clientele. I think they like to see me because I make them feel seen and heard in their experience. I listen without judgment and see them like any other human being seeking to meet a basic need.
What have you learned about disability through your job as a sex worker?
Despite whatever physical or mental barrier an individual has, we all seek that basic need of physical touch. Individuals with disabilities are just as deserving of intimacy and pleasure as those without.
What are some of the main reasons people seek your services?
I'm down to earth and I'll always treat a person kindly. I like to listen to people's stories and share a laugh with them. I think these qualities put people at ease when they come into the brothel because usually they may be nervous otherwise.
Do you enjoy your work?
I enjoy it. It's certainly never boring. There are times, however, when clients have come in and been disrespectful to the women working, and that is a side of the work I don't enjoy. Thankfully, disrespect towards the women working is not tolerated and they're removed from the premises.
Have you ever felt unsafe or afraid while working?
Personally, I've never felt unsafe and have always felt protected. In each room, there is a distress alarm that is easily accessible to us, and we have security on premises at all times. I've always done mixed martial arts for the past 10 years to ensure my personal safety if need be.
Sex work was recently made legal in Victoria. While it is mostly legal in Queensland, there are still some restrictions. What would you say to politicians to make sex work 100% legal?
I would show them the current legal framework of operation in Queensland, areas where it can be improved and adapted to make a nationwide legal operation. I would also suggest that by making sex work 100% legal, that the safety of doing such work has increased, as women aren't participating in risky work environments with little to no security.
What are some of the more unusual requests you have received?
I do seem to attract the more unusual requests, but again, I think this is just because clients generally feel at ease with me. They feel that they can just be themselves. Some of the requests vary from clients dressing up as their favourite movie character and role-playing. Think Captain Jack Sparrow, for instance. Then there are clients who request Wham, Wet and Messy. It's not at all what you think either. Usually Wham involves cakes or pies or jelly or custard, and essentially I cover my clients in the requested substance. I guess the most unusual request I have ever had is just to watch two best friends make out or make love. Initially they wanted to partake in a threesome with myself, but ended up falling in love with each other. Those guys are happily married now, I'm happy to report. I guess they just needed someone to hold their hands, lol.
Sexually speaking, do you have any limits, things you will not do?
For obvious reasons, we all have sexual limits. Sexually, my limits are any act that makes me feel degraded or uncomfortable. I always talk to my clients before we go into the room, so my boundaries are clear to them. For example, one of my limits is a strict policy on not providing anal services. It's not something I enjoy, simple as that. I also don't allow for any bodily fluids to be placed onto my body. Not only would that make me feel dirty, but it places my health at a risk if a client has an infection or disease I'm unaware of.
Tell us about some of the boundaries you have with clients so things don't cross a line to where you feel uncomfortable.
Boundaries are always laid out before the booking begins. For example, a client is not to pull my hair or push my head down onto them. Clients are to talk respectfully to me and communicate their own needs with me so that way we are both on the same page. It shouldn't have to be a guessing game for me, right? Clients are made aware I can cease a booking at any time if they cross a boundary that I've set.
Do you feel your job is a necessary part of society?
I would say it is. Whether people like it or not, sex plays a major role in society. Its role is multi-field. It affects everything as sex can be viewed as a mode of expression. My job allows people to seek expression instead of repression. Sex is used to sell everything from happiness to social inclusion, so my job provides individuals with the most basic human needs, such as inclusion. Sex is associated with some of the strongest rewards the brain has to offer. Think dopamine and serotonin. My job as a sex worker serves to improve the overall quality of life of those who seek my services. Since the role of sex also contributes greatly to gender ideals surrounding gender norms, roles and relationships between men, women and those who identify otherwise, then my job could also be viewed as contributing to greater equality of experiences amongst the sexes within society.
What do you get out of this job? Why continue to do it?
Honestly, I get the freedom of expression, time, and choice. I can brighten people's day, and I continue to do it because of that. I like seeing people freely express themselves and the happiness this brings.
Do you have a sense of humour about your job?
I would say I certainly do. I carry a dark and twisted sense of humour with me at all times. It's hard to explain how I have a sense of humour with my job. It's just a natural occurrence. You've just got to have a laugh sometimes at some of the situations you come across, I guess.
I'm sure there are times when you are, quote, not in the mood, end quote. How do you get past these feelings so you can do your job successfully?
I think of some poor student out there surviving on 2-minute noodles. There you go, I've answered the humour question above. Honestly, I've never been, quote unquote, in the mood sexually for this job. I save being in the mood for my personal sexual experiences on the outside. I don't like to mix work with pleasure, so to speak. It's a business transaction after all. Mentally, when I don't feel like performing, I think of all my future goals and dreams, and that always gets me through. There's always a higher purpose to what I do.
What are your goals for the future?
In 2 years, I'll be graduating with a master's in criminology. There are many exciting opportunities for me here, so I'm very fortunate. I've always wanted to write a book on my experiences as a sex worker, so that is also bouncing around in the back of my mind. But my main goal for the future is just doing what makes me feel happy and content in life.
If you could give a message to people about sex work and sex workers, what would it be?
We are humans just like you. We walk alongside you, and most of the time you're unaware. Some of us are just trying to provide a better life for our children or our parents or our family, etc. Some of us are your future teachers, engineers, lawyers, social workers, psychologists, or tradeswomen. What we do as sex workers is at times provide a missing link in a person's life they mightn't otherwise have access to without us. As sex workers, we provide a place free of shame, guilt, and judgment. And all we ask in return from society is if we could receive the same in return. To be free from being shamed and judged for the work we carry out, to be viewed as socially equal in status because we are.
Cool. And that was the first interview we did with Hannah. Now, like I say, it got a really wonderful reaction. So I asked Hannah if we could do a follow-up. She agreed. So now Courtney and I are going to read the follow-up interview. You're good to go, Courtney. You want a mouthful of water?
Maybe a quick mouthful.
fair enough. I will sing a gentle ditty just to... I won't do that at all.
No, please don't.
No, just... So yes, like I say, we will now read the second interview that I conducted with Hannah.
Ready to go when you are.
Hokey dokey. I did it again. What is wrong with me? All right. You said in your first interview you are doing a criminology degree. What does a criminology degree entail? What do you hope to achieve with it?
Essentially, a criminology degree begins at the bachelor level. It's 4 years worth of study. I can then decide if I want to specialise in this area of expertise later down the track. Criminology examines the underlying causes of crime, emphasising individual behaviour and the structural systems by which people accused of crimes are brought to justice. Eventually, I hope to use this degree in clinical social work or as a police detective. I haven't decided yet. This degree covers a lot of career spaces and opportunities as it incorporates law, psychology, and social sciences.
In regards to your work, how do you keep the emotion out of the sexual act?
The more I think about this question, the more I realise that there will always be some element of emotion during sexual acts. For example, I may feel sympathetic towards a client who confides in me that they've experienced loss. However, I am diligent in reminding myself this is purely a business transaction, and I am playing a character for a moment in my clients' lives. I guess sex work is comparable to acting, and I'm playing a character in whatever fantasy. Knowing this makes it easy to return safely to myself at the end of each shift.
What steps and boundaries do you put in place so clients don't become intrusive in your private life? How do you keep your privacy?
I'll be honest, I lie a lot. I have a fake real name or place of origin, and I'm cautious when discussing hobbies or interests with clients, so I genuinely just lie. It's easier that way. I've been in a situation before where a client was asking pressing questions, almost like he was trying to profile me. So I explained he was making me feel uncomfortable. He kept pushing for answers to his questions. So I pressed a distress button and he was escorted from the premises.
Have you had any experiences of transference, clients becoming attached to you emotionally? If so, how did you deal with it?
Unfortunately, yes, this has happened quite frequently. One client, for example, continued to bring me gifts, perhaps to butter me up, who knows. Anyway, he wanted to meet me on the outside in, quote-unquote, real life. He would push for this every interaction I had with him until I told him I couldn't see him anymore because he was too emotionally involved in the perception of me.
Do all clients want sex, or do some book you for other reasons? If so, what are the other reasons they seek your services?
Many of my clients book me for companionship and the type of intellectual intimacy they can't seem to achieve with women on the outside. I have a handful of physically disabled clients, for example, who on the outside struggle in talking to women and who try talking or dating women and are rejected or ignored because of their disability. This is where I feel an incredible amount of sympathy and pity towards some of my clients. It would be heartbreaking not to be able to achieve that basic human need of intimacy outside of a service I provide.
Do you feel any body image pressures being a sex worker? For example, you have to look a certain way.
It's an interesting thought as a whole. I have always felt a certain amount of pressure to look a certain way, especially in alignment with the standards set out by society of quote-unquote how a woman should look and what is socially deemed as beautiful.
There is a belief that sex workers hate men. Are you a man-hater?
While some sex workers may come to hate men through sex work, I am certainly not a man-hater myself.
Are there any phrases, terms, names that offend you when talking about your industry? What are they and why?
Whore. Personally, I find this term has been thrown around as a means to degrade women further, and consequently it further expands the gender gap, and I find this isn't just limited to sex work. I hate the word C#$T. I won't even type it. That word brings an all-over cringe factor, and it's quite aggressive if thrown around too freely at women. Slut or sluts? I don't think this word is appropriate for sex workers, considering the definition of slut is a woman with many sexual partners. While this seems to be true of sex workers, we are not partnered to the sexual interactions we have. And the most critical point here is that just because we have many sexual interactions does not make us immoral to those standing beside us in this world.
Do you have any funny client stories you'd like to share?
Haha, where do I start? Captain Jack Sparrow is a regular client of mine who dresses in full costume of the famous pirate. During the session, he brings a trained African grey parrot who mimics phrases used during the session. Still not sure if I should alert the RSPCA of the potential trauma this parrot has incurred. Another regular client of mine, the feeder, likes to set up a picnic blanket on the bed and enjoys indulging me in my favourite treats over a couple of hours. I can confirm this session is too good to be true, as I become full quickly, and the food or treats he brings me are decadent. Needless to say, I don't eat breakfast, lunch, or dinner on the days the feeder books in with me. One of my favourite clients who is disabled from the waist down often brings in his emotional support cat, so whilst it's not a funny story, it's strange to have a cat perched at the end of the bed watching his master and me. I also have a couple of clients who are into the wham fetish, wet and messy. This is a fetish I was hesitant to cater to initially, but I've come to enjoy throwing pies and smashing cakes into these clients' faces. It's quite the stress relief for me. I guess I serve these clients in a way where they can get the release they seek without these urges interfering with their everyday lives. Finally, I once had a client bring in this contraption he'd built. It appeared to be one of those metal trays placed over the lap. However, there was a small hole in the centre where he placed it over, threading his penis through, and wanted me to stomp on his dick repeatedly. It was one of the stranger requests, but he did seem to enjoy the stomping.
What does the phrase sex positive feminist mean to you?
For me, it's about exercising choice as women in society that tries to restrict our choices through a heavily induced patriarchal system. It's about engaging in consensual sexual activities through the lens of sexual pleasure and experimentation, with the view that by engagement, we are choosing to meet the fundamental human need for intimacy. Being a sex-positive feminist entails not making moral judgments, respecting individual personal preferences, and encouraging people to become active agents of discovering their own sexual needs through acceptance and openness.
Do you think people take sex too seriously? As in, should people relax and enjoy it more and joke and laugh about it more?
In my experience, it's 50-50. Many people I interact with can laugh and joke about it more, but I've also come across those who view it as a forbidden topic of discussion, despite them being in a brothel in the company of a sex worker in the first place. Sex is one of life's greatest, most basic pleasures, and it should be enjoyed in a safe and satisfying way by all human beings.
Why do you believe sex is a topic that can cause such controversy and debate?
I think there is so much to still understand about sex. People are hesitant about the unknown and the different. I believe media articles often represent sex by being labelled as bad, dirty, etc., linking sex to pornography and perpetuating the controversies surrounding the topic of sex.
Do you believe there is an age limit / cutoff for your job?
Professionally, no. I think age and sex go hand in hand as a timeless affair. Sex should be able to be enjoyed throughout the different life stages, and I've worked alongside women in their 60s who still very much enjoy it. However, I don't want that to be my story personally.
Does anything shock or surprise you anymore, or do you think your job has desensitized you?
It's not so much that the work I do has desensitized me, it's more that I've become more open to various clients' desires or wants through the exposure to each individual experience over time.
Is there anything that offends you?
When I think about the things that offend me, it always comes down to the few times clients have tried to overstep the clearly laid out boundaries in place. It's offensive when people blatantly disrespect your boundaries by trying to do what you've told them not to do. I would say I'm also open-minded. I try to keep an open mind to the requests or situations I'm exposed to. But there are also things I'm personally not willing to try. Hence, it's not that I'm not open-minded to an experience, but it's more of a personal boundary. I've spent time thinking about and have concluded it's not a boundary I want to cross.
Would you consider yourself to be a good actress? In a strange way, would you consider your job to be a form of acting?
It may sound horrible, but yes, I consider myself a great actress. The key is finding one common theme with a client and tapping into that, making them feel heard, etc. If you want to do well in this work, then acting is essential. So yes, my job is undoubtedly a form of acting.
Do you think social media and apps such as Tinder, etc. have made your job easier, harder, safer, or less safe?
I don't think these apps have made my job harder because clients mostly come into a brothel because they know it's less fuss than if they were to meet somebody on the outside through one of those apps, where the potential for emotional complications or general safety is at a higher risk. These apps have only solidified the safe environment provided by brothels. I look towards the news story where Tinder interactions have gone wrong, for instance, where a woman was thrown from a high-rise building.
What would be your advice to people who are afraid or embarrassed to express themselves sexually?
I would advise them to seek out people who may share similar fears or concerns in expressing themselves. There are so many support networks online, for example, that host group of supports. For instance, one group supports those with a fetish for BDSM and provides services for debriefing, after involvement, etc. By sharing similar experiences or desires, people's shame is often diminished.
What do you enjoy doing outside of work, hobbies, etc.?
I like spending time with my family, going to the beach, being in nature, or reading a good book. I'm genuinely a quiet type of person who just enjoys the simple things in life.
If anyone was thinking of getting into the sex industry or becoming a sex worker, what would be some advice you would give them?
Do your research. It won't always be glamorous, so it's vital to have support services you can debrief with, counsellors or psychologists, etc. I would also emphasise the importance of knowing who you are so your identity doesn't get caught up in the act of being a sex worker. Finally, approach the work with an open mind and understand that all human beings deserve to have their basic need for intimacy met. Be curious about why your clients are there and ask questions to form the foundational knowledge required to be successful in the field of sex work.
And that brings us to the end of the second interview. Firstly, I'd like to thank Hannah for doing the two interviews and letting Courtney record down her answers and giving us that trust. And of course, I would like to give an amazingly big shout out to Courtney Varley. Thank you so much, Courtney.
Anytime. Thank you. And it was really wonderful to get to know that side of sex work. So thank you to Hannah for allowing me to read all of your wonderful answers.
That's very sweet, Courtney. So yes, that was very well done. A lot of reading. Well done, Courtney. So yes, that brings us to the end of this week's episode of the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. Make sure you like and subscribe to the podcast. Leave a friendly comment, rate and review. 5 stars is always good. And of course, Beer Nuts Productions is your one-stop shop for all your entertainment needs. So until next time, we will talk to you then.
Bye.
If you make us do that again, Scott, I'm going to kill you.
I'm also going to kill you.